Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. So today I'm chatting with breakthrough strategy coach Jonathan Wells about internal maps of reality. So essentially, your internal map of reality is your perception of the world and how you see yourself fitting into it. And it formed primarily in childhood as a result of your experiences and your interpretations of them, but it really does drive your life. So for example, if your childhood experiences led you to believe that making a mistake was the worst thing you could possibly do, then your internal map is going to protect you and keep you from doing anything that could result in less than a perfect outcome. And if this is not limiting enough, your internal map is so convinced it's correct, it will start to draw from the outside world experiences that validate it. So again, if you were led to believe that you were unlovable, then your internal map is going to create situations to prove that right. So perhaps you'll attract into your life somebody that is incapable of loving you, therefore making it right. So the good news to all of this is your internal map is something that you created. It is a tool that you brought about to help you interpret the world. So you created it and you can change it. If you're interested in taking a deeper dive into this topic, stay tuned for my interview with Jonathan Wells.
Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself one thought at a time. Join your host, Lynn Crocker, and her guests as they demystify your brain's processes and help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I'll be talking with certified personal and professional breakthrough strategy coach, Jonathan Wells. Jonathan's mission is to help others get in touch with their own beliefs and emotional anchors. From a young age, Jonathan noticed that people's emotions and accomplishments varied greatly according to how they viewed any situation, and that by making simple changes in one's core beliefs and eliminating disharmony, it became easier for them to achieve the goals that they had previously seemed impossible. Jonathan and I will be talking about internal roadmaps, what they are, how they're formed, how they're perpetuated, and how we can move beyond them. This is a subject that is just really close to my heart, and because I know, as Jonathan and I talked about previously, these internal roadmaps is really what is guiding all of our behavior and our thoughts. So, hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynn, and thank you.
Well, let's just get started. I know you have a lot of information on this subject. What is an internal roadmap?
Well, it's the mental example that we create. It becomes the model by which we run our lives. Mm-hmm. So, in the beginning, we start out forming beliefs. And the way we form those beliefs is that we make observations and we have experiences and we form conclusions or assumptions about reality based on those things. As far as we're concerned, those assumptions are accurate and true, and we begin to map reality according to those assumptions. So our internal map of reality is something that we create, and it's the model that we use to look at the world around us, to make assumptions about how people are behaving toward us or how opportunities are either favoring us or not favoring us. All our perception comes from that internal map of reality, which we have actually created.
Yeah, that's really powerful. So if I'm understanding right, it seems like we come into the world open and then begin to observe things, maybe how somebody's reacting to us or not reacting to us, and we then start to form the map at that point.
Sure. I mean, think how logical that is in the beginning. Let's say that you're a little kid mm-hmm. and your parents don't show you any attention or love mm-hmm. and you're growing up in a difficult situation. Well, you begin to assume that the world is a cold and unloving place. But if you have the opposite experience, well, then your assumptions about what the world is will be completely different.
So the circumstances surrounding that child are what form the map, and then once they form that map, that's how then they move forward into the world, as you're saying, to perceive everything. So if they're in an environment that love was not given freely, then they put that on their map as the way the world is?
Well, to a point, but it's also, see, there's an interpretation process that goes on, because if two different people see the same set of circumstances, one will interpret it one way and another will interpret it another way. Mm-hmm. So it'll have a different influence. You know, maybe one child who's a little more aware would say, well, it's just because my parents are struggling and times are rough, and you know, I know other families where this isn't the case.
Mm.
So he will interpret that whole situation one way, where another child with a different set of internal resources will channel that information into a completely different map.
Mm-hmm. I think you used the word internal resources, and when you were just talking, I was thinking in terms of temperament. Is that kind of what you mean by internal resources?
The temperament would be an indicator of where they're coming from emotionally. When I say internal resources, I'm basically talking about emotional resources.
Okay.
And so, you know, some are much more sensitive, have their feelings hurt mm-hmm. easier, some get angry easier, some are very resistant, mm-hmm. some are very you know, accommodating, and nobody exactly knows where genetics ends and environment begins when it comes to those sort of things, because you can have identical twins in the same household
mm-hmm.
that respond to things completely differently, or you can have identical twins that were separated at birth and lived on opposite sides of the country who are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a bit of a gray area when it comes to logic and emotions and internal resources as far as what's genetic and what's learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that that's what I was trying to drive at, and you explained it much better than I was trying to ask the question, so thank you for that. But that is the idea that if a child comes into the world that is really sensitive, they're going to be probably more hypersensitive to the fact that they're in an environment where they're not receiving the love that they need. But if a child comes in that's a little more resilient, has a little more of a aggressive and an assertive temperament, they may be able to just say, hey, that's the way that is. I've seen other examples out in other families that I know that are different, so I'm going to choose to create my roadmap in this way.
Well, I could give you a real quick example
yeah.
from my own life. I was adopted at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents sat me down and explained it to me when I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I've gotten from other people, especially those who were adopted, was, don't you ever wonder who your real parents were?
Mm. Yeah.
And my answer has always been, well, you know, these are the people that took care of me when I was sick. They put clothes on me. They fed me. They raised me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from parents? You know, they are my real parents.
Right.
So I felt blessed to have been adopted, because things could have went a lot worse. I could have wound up in an orphanage or something,
mm-hmm.
whereas other people who have the same experience feel abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great example. So I have heard both sides of people talking to people that have been adopted, and some feel that way. I was unloved, I wasn't wanted, I was abandoned, and then others do choose to view it how you did, that you were lucky and you were chosen in a way.
Yeah, you know? To me it was an advantage. I got parents who really wanted it.
Yeah, so that had to do somewhat with your temperament and how you were. You were perhaps a little more resilient than maybe another person that chose to view it as an abandonment. So is it important for people to get to know their temperament, to understand how they're forming that internal roadmap?
Very important. You know, that's why my book is called True Self.
Mm.
And most people are completely out of touch with their own internal resources. They don't even know what their core values or their core passions or beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to navigate their way through the world and make sense out of things when they might be creating internal conflict because they're going against some core belief, and if that core belief doesn't serve them, then there's a process for dismantling it and replacing it
mm-hmm.
with a more empowering belief. But if this thing is running on stealth mode and it's beneath their conscious level of thought and they're not even aware of it, then they're being affected by it, and they're mystified as to what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. So yes, one of the best things we can do for ourselves is take a good, close look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably scary for a lot of people, because I don't think that's something that is encouraged in our society.
No, it's not. And why we're not taught to get in touch with ourselves mm-hmm. at school is beyond me. In a way, it leaves them crippled for trying to deal with the curves that life throws at them, whereas once they really understand who they are and they either replace limiting beliefs that no longer serve them, mm-hmm. but see, to do that, you have to become aware of them first.
Right.
And most people have limiting beliefs and they're not aware of them.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And we talked in our pre-interview about those limiting beliefs, and even this internal roadmap is, and you would brought up some very interesting points of how they're perpetuated. So if I have an internal roadmap that I have intellectually decided is not serving me anymore, I've gotten to know my true self, my temperament, identified how I'm viewing the world, and I'm saying, well, that's not serving me. That's just kind of the first step. It requires a lot of work because we try to perpetuate these limiting beliefs and internal roadmaps, right?
Yes, the data that you gather from the world around you will be filtered to support your existing internal roadmap of reality, which is based on your beliefs, some of which might be limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And even though beliefs might start out logically based, we make observations, we have experiences, we come to conclusions and draw assumptions, and that becomes a belief.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, once it becomes a belief, we don't question it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's not logically based anymore. It's emotionally based. It becomes part of our emotional makeup.
Huh.
And it's very difficult to use logic to dismantle feelings. It doesn't work. Somebody's crying and you tell them, well, you don't need to cry. You don't need to feel that way. That's not going to help them at all. But recognition on an intellectual level is the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and there are ways to make even really deep-seated beliefs vulnerable to logic, but it's a process you have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if, for example, a person thinks that they're not worthy of being loved, what you're saying is they're going to look for evidence out in the world to validate that
sure.
feeling?
Sure. They will look for evidence in several ways. One of the ways they'll do that is they'll attract people to them that are incapable of loving.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they can't get love from those people, that validates their belief. But we'll go even further than that because, see, we're emotionally vested in our beliefs even though we don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So a person who feels they are unworthy of love, if someone tries to love them, if someone expresses love in ways that well-adjusted people in that regard would see as loving,
mm-hmm.
but it creates a conflict with this person's belief that they are unworthy of love, they will sabotage the relationship so it gets ugly, and then they'll say, see?
Yeah, I was right.
But see, all this happens on a subconscious level. Nobody does this stuff consciously.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. So a way to perhaps start to get a sense of what the internal roadmap is maybe to look at things going on in your life. So if, for example, somebody has come into my life that's trying to love me and I notice a pattern of sabotaging those kinds of relationships, then that would be a clue to me of what's going on in my subconscious?
Sure. Well, if we take responsibility
mm-hmm.
for our own reality, then we, or at least our response to what happens to us, then we have to assume that we are creating that reality. So then we look at the reality we're creating, and everything we see is a clue as to where we have empowering beliefs, where we have limiting beliefs, If we look at the things that we're naturally good at and we naturally like to do, chances are that those things are anchored in positive, empowering beliefs.
Hmm.
And if we look at the things we don't like to do, or that we complain about when we're forced to do them, or that we're afraid of,
mm-hmm.
or they make us feel a lot of extreme anxiety or something, that's a clue that there are limiting beliefs associated with that particular situation or activity.
Hmm. I was just thinking in terms of myself and some of the things that I don't enjoy doing, and I could quickly go down a list there. And, yeah, I think that behind those I can see how there are some limiting beliefs. So.
Well, you have to realize, too, that sometimes strong emotions like fear
mm-hmm.
and insecurity and things like that, on some level, they're actually linked to our survival instinct.
Oh.
Because we are hardwired to move away from pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so there again, is this belief that this particular activity is dangerous to my mental, emotional, or financial health, is this a limiting belief, or is this a protection for me because those things really are a threat? It's difficult to distinguish
mm-hmm.
between the two. Well, let's take, for example, fear. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we've all been afraid of something.
Yes.
And let's see how belief can affect fear.
Mm-hmm.
As young children, kids like to do things that are, like, thrilling, like, say, go on a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're afraid to some degree, and they're standing in line waiting to get on that roller coaster. But as they sit there and watch other people go on it and scream and yell and then get off and laugh and get back in line to do it again,
mm-hmm.
their mind says, oh, that's exciting.
Mm.
And they can actually reframe fear into excitement because the two are pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, take somebody else who's standing there and they're not even afraid to get on that roller coaster, but while they're waiting, they see somebody come out of a car and hit the ground and get rushed to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now they're going to reframe excitement into fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going on that roller coaster. And 30 years later, if you try to get them to go on a roller coaster, they're not going.
Mm-hmm.
Because their survival instinct is telling them, if you go on there, you might die.
Yeah. And that's a strong, strong emotional, as you said, it's primal, it's base. We want
right.
to survive. Yeah. But a lot of things in our society that people say that they're afraid of really aren't life or death.
No. You know, and it all depends on what we focus on, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk out of your front door and the step is, or the sidewalk is icy going out to your car,
mm-hmm.
and you focus on, I hope I don't fall, I hope I don't fall, I hope I don't fall. All your brain hears is fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably going to fall.
Yes, it's true.
So if we focus on fear, we'll be pulled into it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll consume us. Whatever we hold in the front of our minds expands, and whatever we push to the back shrinks.
Mm.
And so focus plays a huge role on every level when it comes to our map of reality. See, if we are a fearful, anxious person, then when we view the world through our own emotional filters, we're going to notice everything that is threatening, everything that there is to be afraid of. And if a person like that watches the nightly news every night and they see all these terrible things, you know, every week they're going to put a new deadbolt on their door.
Mm-hmm.
They're petrified.
Right.
And so the input and the focus also help us to create our map of reality, sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you're saying, if you're focusing on falling, I'm going to fall, even though you're consciously saying, I don't want to, the brain is knowing that you're focusing on falling, it will create a situation where you will be correct, you will fall.
Sure. It's called target fixation in some situations,
mm-hmm.
and it affects motorcyclists a lot.
Mm.
They'll be saying, don't hit that, don't hit that, and they'll run right into
mm-hmm.
it.
So if somebody has identified the internal roadmap and are wanting to change it, there is a sensation of not wanting to change because it feels scary and unsafe.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, let's say that I have I'm going to, I don't know, L.A., and I have a map of L.A., and I have to navigate my way around L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out that the map is inaccurate, but it's the only map I have right now, so don't take away my map or I'll feel really insecure.
I see.
Even though a replacement is on its way.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that with our internal map of reality, when we dismantle limiting beliefs and go through a process of adopting a more empowering focus and viewpoint and attitude and a greater level of confidence,
mm-hmm.
our map begins to disintegrate because it's based on other things. And if we don't recognize that that's just a necessary part of the process, then it's like we're down in a big city and somebody took away our roadmap. No matter how bad it was better than no map at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to cling to what we're familiar with. We don't recognize that we created this internal map of reality.
Mm-hmm.
To us, it is reality.
Right.
So when it begins to fall apart, we take it personal. Our reality is falling apart.
Hmm.
Even though there's a replacement coming, it makes us feel insecure.
Mm-hmm. So part of the process is recognizing that we created the internal roadmap, and I guess what you're saying, trusting that a new one is on the way once we let this one go.
Sure. I mean, you know, otherwise we'd all be wearing diapers and sucking on baby bottles.
You know, that's a really good point. When you really do pull it back into how much transition and change we go through in that first year of our life, and that we let one thing go to allow another thing to come in, that's a very basic way to look at it. And then it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable when you don't have the one. But if you can ride through that discomfort, then something more empowering is on the other side of that.
And sometimes there is a lot of pain involved. I mean, let's take a happy married couple and one of them dies.
Yeah.
And there's a grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
But if the grieving process never ends,
mm-hmm.
then there'll never be another opportunity to experience those good feelings with another person again.
Right.
If they cling to what they've lost, what's already gone, they pine away for the map that no longer exists,
mm-hmm.
because the reality has changed.
Yes.
And then there'll be no opportunity for a new map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would feel bad.
Well, yeah.
I guess, and that would be a reason why somebody would stay in that place of mourning and the place of, I mean, you never, I imagine one never gets over missing that person. I haven't lost a close loved one, you know, yet in my life. Very fortunate. But so they're clinging to the mourning because that is what's familiar.
Yeah, and they're focused on what they've lost,
mm-hmm.
not what new opportunities might await them. Now, of course, in the case of something like that, grieving has steps. It has
mm-hmm.
a process. But sometimes people get stuck in the process,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get out of it.
Right, and they're maybe a little resistant to rewriting a map of their life without that person in it.
Right.
Yeah.
For any number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They could feel guilty over it. They could feel like, they could even feel sometimes a person, you know, their mate's been gone for 10 years, but they feel like they'd be cheating on them if they open their heart to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. The mind is pretty complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, we're a complicated bunch.
Yeah, we sure are. But I think the good message from all of this and what I'm gathering is that the brain can be retrained with some focus, awareness, and guidance from a coach like you. I think people can really work, can retrain the brain and rewrite their internal roadmap to one that's more empowering for them.
They absolutely can. And, you know, the ironic thing is is that the process is not as difficult as the concept. There is a process that we go through that uses our logical mind to discover and dismantle our limiting beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and we can use any number of tactics to train ourselves to actually accept empowering beliefs into our belief system, and all the while we'll be reconfiguring our own map of reality. And the process, it's a little bit time-consuming. I mean, you have to take it one step at a time. It's not mm-hmm. the kind of thing where you can just, in a matter of one coaching session, all of a sudden your whole reality is changed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to address the issues that are creating the current situation, and then you kind of clear the map so that you can draw a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all that difficult or painful. But it's just the kind of thing that most people never put themselves in a position to even realize, let alone do anything about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you keep saying with dismantling the beliefs. That feels good to me, and it's a way of working through it consistently, slowly, but a very deliberate process.
It is, and it's so fun to watch people go through it because it changes everything. It changes their entire
wow.
perception of what's possible,
yeah.
of their own abilities, their whole outlook. And let's face it, if we feel courageous and capable
mm-hmm.
and confident, our reality is different than if we feel scared and shy and in danger.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bottom line is kind of that we are not victims, we are creators.
Yeah.
And so once we get comfortable with that concept,
mm-hmm.
see, some people want to be victims
mm-hmm.
because there's no responsibility involved. It's not their fault. There's nothing they can do to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they say, okay, well, something terrible happened to me and it had nothing to do with me, okay, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a victim of circumstances in that respect,
mm-hmm.
but how you respond to those circumstances and where you go from there is completely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You are the creator of your response.
Yeah.
And so when we create our own responses, then we don't just react to life like a victim. We become a creator of our reality. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I can go outside and make it rain at
right.
or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I can create my own map of reality, and in doing so, I create how my world looks to me,
mm-hmm.
what is possible in my world. You know, I can put features on my map that make me feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the message that anybody can do this, and I was piggybacking on something you said before, that I think a lot of people just aren't aware that they can. They think that reality is reality, and there's nothing I can do to all of these external things around me that keep happening to me. There's nothing I can do about that. And what you're saying, and clearly what I believe too, is that I want to let people know you have the power to change your perception of reality from the inside out. So we are, believe it or not, out of time, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell listeners how they can find you. So if somebody is in this position of wanting to find out who they really are, to really identify them their true selves and learn what their internal roadmap is doing, how they can shift it, where can they find you?
Well, I'm at BreakthroughStrategyCoaching.com. That's my coaching site. I also have a very popular blog on life skills called Advanced Life Skills. But a good way to get a flavor for where I'm coming from is my book, which is called True Self
mm-hmm.
by Jonathan Wells, and it's on all the major online bookstores.
Great. Yeah, I saw it. So for listeners, again, that's BreakthroughStrategyCoaching.com.
Yes.
That's Jonathan's website, and then his book, True Self, yeah, you can get it on Amazon, and it looks like a really great read. I haven't had a chance to go through it completely yet. Certainly the things that I've read on Jonathan's website, the blog that he mentioned, and just conversations that we've had. I think if you're looking for a way to shift this internal roadmap, discover who you really are, I really suggest and recommend giving Jonathan a call. So, Jonathan, this was short and sweet. I know you have a lot to talk about, and I may call you back onto the show at some point. But thank you so much for your time today.
It'd be my pleasure anytime, Lynn. Thank you.
Great. We have a great day. And listeners, be sure to tune in next week.
So that wraps up today's show. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe now so that you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out my website, createyourrealitytoday.com. Remember to create the reality you want, one thought at a time.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself, one thought at a time. Never miss an episode. Go to iTunes and search podcasts for Create Your Reality and subscribe now.